Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
His job is to be impactful, just like I said with Jordan Davis. Impactful in the touches you do get. But the volume guys on this offense have to remain A.J. Brown and DeVonta Smith. Is that controversial? Evidently it is.
Welcome back in, everybody. A Monday edition of Birds 365. OTAs are officially underway. We are joined now by Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports. Jeff, welcome to the show, man. How you doing on this Monday morning?
I guess I get to cover some Eagles this week at their being across the street at Citizens Bank Park for the best team in baseball this whole year.
Philly's taking some heat off the Eagles. Is that possible, Jeff Kerr?
They are.
Well, I'll tell you what. The Phillies clubhouse is the complete 180 of what the Eagles locker room was last week.
Oh, yeah. I don't get that. I don't think the Eagles locker room was a disaster. I think they played like shit. Like how, Jeff? You have Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham and Lane Johnson. How does that automatically go wrong? Like, who else has leadership like that? They just played like crap down the stretch. I mean, it happens. But I can't blame it on the locker room. I can't.
Everybody wants an answer, and this is the best answer I possibly can give. They just got their hearts ripped out of them after that Seattle game, and it just
I think it was the San Francisco game. I think they got punched in the face by San Francisco, and they said, oh, shit, they're better than us. And I think it's disappointing the way they handled that.
I think it was self-doubt after the San Francisco game, and you're right. It just snowballed after that game, the Dallas game. But then – they overreacted with the coordinator change.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, John, you and I have talked several times about the issues they had with Sean Desai, and just everything just went wrong after
that. Yeah, part of me wonders how big of a – that might have been a bigger thing, obviously, than we're thinking about. I mean, John says there was no locker room problems. They just played like crap. They got destroyed by the Tampa Bay Bucs in the playoffs after they throttled them in week three of the season. So that something was different. And the roster wasn't that much different. They actually went into that game decently.
I think with the locker room, it wasn't a divided locker room at all. I didn't think it was that.
They weren't playing good. That's for dang sure.
I just thought everybody was in like their little cluster, which is normal for a football team. But why would, instead,
here's my thing. People don't like to blame players for playing poorly.
No, they like to blame everybody else.
Yeah, they blame every – it's the coaching. Oh, they're fractured. I always use Oxum's razor, man. Simplest answer is the right answer.
Yeah, but why'd they play so poorly, John?
I mean, well, because the players played like shit.
Well, no, I know. I'm not one of the guys that would blame the coaches. I would put it on the players too. But don't you think there's a reason as to why they played so poorly, so consistently down the stretch? Like, they're not bad players. These are talented football players. In many cases, they're the top players at their position group in the NFL. they just played like crap for seven straight weeks.
Well, yeah.
No but, other explanation so, for that other so, than they played bad?
Yeah. I mean, matchups, you know, again, when you bring like the Eagles signed A.J. Brown because everybody wanted to go down the A.J. route. Not everybody, but the critics, the locker room critics. Oh, he's a cancer and blah, blah, blah. I would say on this show constantly, and Jeff gets to see how engaging, especially behind the scenes, especially when the television cameras leave, and how accountable AJ is and all that stuff, and honest. And yeah, he gets emotional on the sidelines, but I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing, good thing, indifferent, I would say, because, you know, Tom Brady can do it. It's not a problem.
I always gave T.O. a lot of credit for being emotional on the sidelines.
Yeah, well, he was also an issue behind the scenes. AJ's not doing push-ups in his driveway and having press conferences and things like that. So that comparison's silly. But then the Eagles go out and sign him 2 years because they have to, because they love him so much. So for all those people that said that for so many months, where are they now? Other than, you know, and the Craig Carton and blah, blah, and there's something going on to you. What do you think Craig Carton was inferring there? He was inferring A.J. Brown. Well, you can do the bullshit with Kenny Gainwell and all that kind of stuff and Britton Cubby and anybody else you want to throw out, but you know damn well who was referring to and crossing his fingers and hoping the shit sticks to the wall. And it didn't. So then you shift and go in a direction. Like I said, Jeff covers the whole league. You know, Jeff, I can say to you right now, insert team, Baltimore Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs, Los Angeles Rams, Seattle Seahawks, from coast to coast, New York Giants. I can tell you right now today, oh, guess what, Jeff? Something's going on in that locker room. Eventually, I'll be right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd say that with any team. I guarantee you – well, actually, I should know this. There are even some issues on bad teams' locker rooms, like even Jonathan Gannon's locker room. You know, it wasn't – everything wasn't – you know, they were singing Kumbaya every week.
Right.
Well, with bad teams, it's even more. But, look at Rasheed Rice and what's going on off the field in Kansas City.
You know what? That's – the way the Chiefs have been going the last like 3-4 weeks, Rasheed Rice might be fourth on their damage control right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and Nick has said this multiple times, how lucky he was to walk in a locker room with those four guys, the core four, and two of them are gone. I think it's a bigger issue this year.
John, when you talk
about leadership,
does it bug you? Like sometimes I got to turn some things off and. It bothers me when people make the jokes about Nick, you know, the CEO stuff, or they act like he don't do anything. I don't know why it just bothers me to the point where I'm like, all right, I got to listen to something else. I got to put something else on. I got to put on time.
He gets it. It's part of the gig. I mean,
I know. But it's like saying Rob Thompson's a bad manager. It's like, come on.
Maybe they weren't last year. But, like, now that you've seen what they've done on offense this year, they bring in Kellen Moore. All of a sudden, Nick's not saying, hey, this is my offense like he did with Brian Johnson. I get it. He's still the head coach of the football team. But are the questions warranted? And then one other thing I'll ask both of you. Do you think we see a different Nick this year? Like, and when I say different, I mean a little less animated, no barking at Chiefs fans, running out, like stuff like that. I wonder if Jeffrey Lurie had a conversation with him like, hey, maybe rein some of that in.
Well, we're already kind of seeing a different Nick. We're having actual mini camp, right? Yeah. We're having a mandatory mini camp. So I guess that's the first change. John, I don't know. Do you think Jeffrey had a talk with him?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
About the animation stuff, I should say.
I'm sure he has. When you saw Howie as well and Nick at their season ending press conference, they looked freaking depressed. Yeah. They got taken.
I will say Nick still looks like it took a toll on him. He still looks like grungy. I'm like, wow, Nick went through it, huh?
I mean, they both went through it, and they both, you know, certainly got a stern talking to from the owner of the team. But, you know, at the end of the day, certainly Howie has tremendous job security, even though he doesn't like to talk about it. And Nick was kept. So now it's about moving forward. I do not like the way the Eagles handled, I'm very honest, the coaching staff. That's not to say it won't be better. I just think there's too many, and especially offensively, I have no problem defensively. I think it was unfair to not expect growing pains from Sean Desai. But behind the scenes, Shep, if you don't think he's the guy, you don't think he's the guy. You got to go in a different direction. And I think Big is going to make him better. So defensively, I'm more talking about offensively. You kept everybody, essentially, except the scapegoats, Brian Johnson, Alex Tanney, because of Jalen Hurts' regression from 2022 to 2023. And now you're trying to marry these two things together with Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier. Can it work? Sure, it can work. Will it work? I think that's kind of awkward.
You know, I always say this. Jalen Hurts can't be any worse turning the football over than he was last year. He can't. And I know everybody likes to bring up Jalen Hurts and the top five quarterback. I'm like, well, he was top five quarterback 2 years ago. I wouldn't rank him that high after last year. It's just when I was rewatching the games, I was just seeing, and again, it might be Brian Johnson, might not, but I just saw too much where it's like, okay, that wasn't good, Jalen, or Jalen, why aren't you taking off here? Now, of course, the knee issues notwithstanding, you're like, it was a different Jalen last year, but you notice we're not hearing anything from Jalen like we did last year. Jalen was in this commercial, or Jalen was in this, and Jalen was
that. Well, that's part of it. I'm glad by that.
Yeah, I am too. Like,
now, as it started, as we get past minicamp, you know how, and you know, Jeff, you'll get all the so-and-so's promoting this. You want to talk to so-and-so.
I got during the off-season
interviews. Yeah. And they'll do the Zoom interviews and things like that. So maybe it'll pick up once minicamp is over. But Jalen has largely been here working things, trying to get on the same page. So that part is a positive. But I just think it's an awkward situation. And
you know what I've been really impressed with this all season? Again, I'm going to toot my Saquon Barkley horn a bit. You haven't heard much from him either. You know, outside of the whole BS Giants report. And again, I've defended Saquon Barkley on this. You can't – I forget how I worded it, but basically you can't enter the building if the building is locked. And, you know, the whole – Saquon Barkley turned down an offer from the Giants. That is the farthest thing from the truth I've ever heard.
They didn't want him.
Yeah, they didn't want him.
The weird Saquon – and. By the way, Saquon's, because people get mad at me, because I said I don't necessarily agree with the Eagles' evaluation of the player. Nobody criticizes Saquon as a leader, as a person, all that. Only good things to say.
He's the leader everybody. They need, John. That's what they needed, a guy like that. I mean, I harped on how bad their running backs were all last year. Everybody goes, oh, DeAndre Swift ran for 1,000 yards. I'm like, well, okay, well, let's look at since week four, where he's averaged like 3.5 yards per carry. And you can't tell me the Eagles have the best offensive line in football and then tell me their running game's good when I'm trying to tell you it's not as efficient as you think it is. And a lot of that had to do with Jalen, but outside DeAndre Swift, they really didn't have anything. If DeAndre Swift he wasn't mid, he was above average, but they could have done better.
He was a solid player.
Yeah, he was. But, you know, obviously, you and I have talked about this, John. A lot of beat writers have talked about, we didn't think he was going to be back after last year. No. And that was before the end of the season.
Well, he wasn't happy with the offense as well. He wanted to be more involved. But, I, you know, going back to Xander's point, and I'll ask both of you guys, when we're talking about the locker room. So I want to turn that in the other direction and say, you know, when you talk about players not performing and you talk about, because I saw this, and when I see this, I cringe, Jeff. Oh, the Eagles had a high school offense. They didn't BS. Help. They got to help Jalen Hurts. So I turned that on more, and they got to have answers for him. And they don't, you know, at all costs, don't blame the player. So why did it work for so long, the high school offense?
It was a top 10 offense last year.
Yeah. Why did it work for so long? Why did they win what was it, 26 or 28, whatever it was. I forget at this point. Why did they win?
It was 28 of 30.
Yeah, they were on a historic win record there for a while.
So why did they win with that shitty high school offense with no hot routes, which is the dumbest narrative in the history of the world?
Because people have no idea what they're talking about. Again, I'll say it. I don't care. I, John, I'm telling you this as someone who covers a baseball team almost every day. The stuff you hear, the stuff you get on that forsaken app, you're like, what are you talking about? Like the other night, the Phillies lost they lost the game, and people want Alec Bohm to bunt. I'm like, you want a guy who's hitting 430 but runners in scoring position to bunt? He's an all-star this year. So those are the same people giving the high school offense crap.
Yeah, I agree. And this is where it is players. I mean, the NFL is a player's game. But I do think it's fair to wonder, just to play devil's advocate, when players aren't performing, is that also solely on the players, or is there other variables that go into that, such as coaches? Like, and I wanted to ask you guys, John, you brought up Doug Nussmeier. How much does the quarterback's coach have a role
Don't get me wrong, and Vic talked about this as well when he spoke. He loves baseball so much. He got asked the question, way back when, why did you not go into baseball and be a coach in baseball versus football? And he said, you can have more of an impact in football. Let's be honest. The coaching means more in football than any other professional sport.
Right.
It does mean more.
Yeah, it does. Like, I mean, you see impacts in the locker room, what a coach can have, but you're right. It's completely different. But I remember, John, we were talking at this time last year, and Xander, you're probably listening to the whole thing. Like, who was going to have the bigger impact in terms of what was the coordinator changes? Was it going to be Brian Johnson, or was it going to be Sean Desai? And I remember we were kind of mixed. I said, they're going to miss Shane Steichen a lot more than they think, and that ended up being true, but they really missed John McCann.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to further that point of what Vic said, it's still, and he also said, what's the most important part of your scheme? And he essentially said good players.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. And basically, your job as a coach, and Nick has talked about this in front of the cameras, behind the cameras numerous times, your job as a coach is to take a player a little bit further than where he could get on his own. In other words, improve his technique. If it's Jeff Stoutland with the offensive line, Jordan Mailata being the biggest success story in his history and just unbelievable story. At wide receiver, maybe it's sharpening the route running, expanding the tree, things like that. But if you're good, you're good. It's just a matter how good you're going to be. And if you're not as good, you're going to struggle, obviously. It's still more on the players. And players respect coaches who can take them a little bit further than where they can go on their own.
So what happens, though, when they underperform? Is that just solely on players, too? Or is there at least some coaching that's involved
in that? It's the same thing. There's some coaching, but it's the same thing.
Right.
The vast majority is on the player. Like, you can't play well and go 10-1 and then – the defensive line. Look, they have good defensive front people. The Eagles have good defense. They have some issues on the back seven last year, significant issues. Their front is talented. And those guys were undisciplined and unfocused and freelancing.
And some were checked out.
Yeah. You could blame it on Sean Desai and say, oh, he doesn't have a presence as they kick his butt out the door. Or you can blame it on Matt Patricia and make all the jokes and say he's a terrible coach. But do you really think, hey, guys, go freelance? Do you really think that's coming from the coaching staff, or do you think they're pissed off?
The best player on that defensive line last year retired. Point blank. He was their –
their most consistent. Yeah.
And it's you know what was so weird? And I wish I would have had a chance to talk to him about this at the end of the year. A guy like Josh Sweat, who has been really good late in games, and who has been really good in the final. I looked this up in the final like quarter of the season, 21, 22, 20, really good. That's how they got paid. Last year, zero around the stat sheet. He had his pressure rate dropped, no sacks. It was so bizarre. And then you got on the other end, Hassan Reddick basically, I'm getting sacks. And when he did get his sacks, they were late in a blowout loss to Dallas. So
sacks, you know, are the most overrated stat. My old co-host Jody Mack is probably getting mad.
Unless you're a Watt, then they're not overrated.
They are overrated. They're just such an overrated stat. It's never a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. But Chris Long says it, and Chris Long, for years, I mean, that's his life, right? Pass rusher.
Chris Long was in the league 13 years, too. So, you know, you don't last 13 years without getting pressure on the quarterback.
He said sacks are created in so many different ways. You got to look at each individual. Did somebody get an interior push and run the quarterback right into you, and you get the sack? Or maybe you beat again. There's so many that they're so overrated. Now, what isn't is when you have consistent producers like Hassan Reddick, that's meaningful. But just to look at sacks, and I bring up Jordan Davis all the time because I just wrote about Jordan. Everybody's on Jordan's ass like he's a bad player. He's a bad player. He's a bad player.
You know what? It's not Jordan Davis. It's who they passed up on.
Well, it's always about who they passed up on, but I argue because Jody and I were the biggest Kyle Hamilton people in the world. But you could draft Kyle Hamilton, but if you played him in the Eagles' defense, he wouldn't be Kyle Hamilton. So,
no.
The vacuum is what the vacuum is. The assumption that you can get Kyle Hamilton, but you damn well better play the defense that Baltimore does to take advantage of all the things he can do. Eagles don't do that.
But John, you know,
I think the problem with Jordan Davis, and John, you talk about this all the time with where a player's drafted. We had Brian Baldinger on Dan Cilio's show last week. Even if Jordan Davis becomes the best version of what you describe him to be, he's not a stat stuffer.
He's not
a pressure on the quarterback and the passing game kind of guy. So people are always going to say, well, even if he's great at what he's supposed to be great at, you drafted him way too high because at that point you want to get a guy.
It's depressing. It's depressing.
You just pointed out exactly what I was going to say. It's like,
Is that flawed, though? I don't know if that's flawed. Like, you took that third.
I mean, Haloti Ngata made a career out of being drafted that high, and he was never a stat guy.
Yeah. It's not. That's, I always bring up, that's what the Eagles want. Now, has he reached that level? No, he hasn't. So you could say it's disappointing to me because I saw Baldy. Baldy should know better. My God, come on. If he's impactful, if he's Haloti Ngata impactful, the Eagles will be very happy.
And Jalen Carter will be too.
Yeah, and Jalen Carter will be too. If he doesn't reach that level, no. But it has nothing to do with the stat sheet. Nothing to do with the stat sheet, more with the conditioning. Xander and I were talking about the conditioning, football conditioning, not Eagles autism challenge condition. And we'll see where he is as they start playing. And really, does, with Jordan Davis, it's about the second leaner, half of the though. Season. What's
he
that?
Look, he does look leaner.
He's always been lean for his weight. Who cares? Can he play 40 snaps in week 17? And be impactful.
If not, Milton Williams can.
Like. I just want him to produce. I want him to produce at a high level at his position. That's it. I don't care if he's thin, fat, ripped, not ripped. I don't care. Just be productive on the field. That's all.
Hey, Patrick Mahomes has a dad bod, and it works pretty well for him. Of course, exactly. Most quarterbacks do. People don't realize that.
Yeah.
Here, Jeff, I want to move back into Saquon Barkley. I know you're a big Saquon guy. You're a Penn State guy. Johnny Mack and I had a pretty good talk last week on what his role is going to be in this offense and really what it should be. What do you see Saquon's role? Do you think he has a role in the passing game? Is he a traditional running back? How do you see him and what his role should be in the Eagles offense?
I think he should have a role in the passing game. You know, that's what Kellen Moore and Doug Dustmeyer wanted to bring last year to the Chargers, and everything just kind of went to
didn't
shit.
Didn't bring it, by the way.
Austin Eckler hurt his ankle in week one, and that was the end of that. So,
yeah,
you know, if Saquon gets hurt, you know, we're not having this conversation, but you got to give this guy the football in space. And the best way to do that is to actually get him the football in space. Now, I don't know if Jalen is that type of quarterback. We never really had to test Jalen Hurts in that regard because Miles Sanders, as we all know, wasn't the greatest pass catcher in the world, and James Franklin did the best he could to hide it for years, and you know, but he could do it with Saquon. So I personally would like to see Saquon involved in the passing game. I think it's going to open things up in the slot. I think it's going to open things up for AJ, for Devonta, for Dallas. I think that's a different wrinkle you have to put in. And I think the quarterback is sincerely going to work on that this offseason. I think that's part of what they're going to do. But really, I'm a big yard from scrimmage guy with Saquon. If he can get you 1,500 to 2,000, I know it's asking a lot, but this is a guy, this is a three down back. This is a guy that can do it. So as long as he's healthy, and that's going to be the question the whole year. Saquon is a freak of nature, but Saquon has also had quad, hamstring, ACL, you name it. It's, I mean,
and 1,500 NFL touches.
Thanks, John.
Jeff, you could argue if he doesn't get 1,500 to 2,000 yards from scrimmage, he's not living up to the contract. Because I don't know exactly what the numbers were, but DeAndre Swift was well over a 1,000-yard rusher. Miles Sanders was over a 1,000-yard rusher.
I think DeAndre ended up with like 1,200 yards from scrimmage, which is low, by the way, even for his – and again, you had to give DeAndre Swift the football in space. That's why you got him, and you didn't throw him the football.
And they didn't do it. So why are they not going to do it with Saquon either?
That's why I'm hoping DeAndre's
this drives me crazy. You know, I've become a big Anthony Edwards guy in the NBA playoffs.
Oh, he's a stud.
And by the way, he didn't even play well in game 7.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GUNDRYMD.com/energy.
He made the shots he had to make. But they came back. They won. I'm glad because I think he's the next NBA superstar, and at least we get to watch him for at least one more series. But I bring him up to say this, the NBA mentality. Look, with the Timberwolves, it's Edwards and it's Carl Anthony Towns, or even McDaniels has become a good player. They have the sixth man of the year, Naz Reid. It was a big...
Naz Reid was everything the Sixers were thinking Paul Reed was going to be.
Yeah. It was a big part of that comeback win last night. But anyway.
By the way, I just want to add something. I'm going to spew some joke hate right now. Carl Anthony Towns getting his rebounds and Naz Reid's beating Jokic on the boards.
Yeah,
again,
well,
Jokic
yeah.
is not a good defensive player. Stop trying to force that into people's heads.
No, but also stop trying to force that Joel Embiid's better.
No, he's not. KAT hustles for his board. I don't care if he's healthy,
but,
injured
but
or not.
My only point of going down the NBA route is, does anybody look at Minnesota or even Denver, which with Jokic and Murray, and say, oh, today we got to get Naz Reid involved. Today we got to get blah, blah, blah involved. No. No.
Who's open Nobody. Is open.
Nobody. You do what you do with the opportunities you get. And if you're a great role player like Naz Reid, you become sixth man of the year. If you're a great role player like Rudy Gobert, you get some garbage points and offensive rebounds and things like that and play defense. This is AJ's offense. This is Devontae's offense. Why are we worried about getting the third option, maybe the fourth option? Oh, you got to get them involved. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Yeah, but John, didn't it not work last year? Like, AJ had great numbers last year. Devontae had great numbers. What did it get you? It didn't get you what you wanted. That's my problem, because like, I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah,
if you
I agree with John.
Superstar,
just don't turn the
you're going to go through the superstar. But
don't turn the ball over.
Yeah,
you have
well,
a
that's partly why
offense.
I came up with 13 wins. I mean, you guys, Johnny Mack, you didn't like my 13 wins. But if they get rid of those turnovers, it's largely the same football team on offense.
Exactly.
They might win. Exactly. I mean, they were 11-6 last year.
You know,
get rid of those turnovers, they're
crazy.
Probably going to win two more games.
So I'm a big points and yards per possession guy. Everybody looks at points per game. It's kind of a flawed stat. Points per possession is like the real stat if you want to look at it. It's not a high number. But the Eagles were 2.3 last year. That was top six in the league. Oh, by the way, it doesn't count the turnovers. So you don't turn the ball over. It's probably top three again. Like Johnson, just don't turn the football over. Yeah. It's as simple as that.
The thought process that, and I got one of these going back to Brian Westbrook and Deuce and that, and I'm like, it's a different era. I just want to stop people.
You mean well, you don't want Ricky Waters getting the ball every carry, John?
I mean,
averaging 3.7 yards per carry, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. If you average 3 yards per play, you get a first down every time.
if you give, first of all, if you give Saquon Barkley the ball 30 times a game, you're taking it away from other people, and you're also going to get them hurt, by the way.
Oh yeah, he's not lasting if you give him
his role.
He's a running back, no running backs last. Yeah. I give DeAndre Swift credit for staying healthy.
Yeah,
it you know, if it's a big third down and you get him matched up with a linebacker, yeah, take advantage of it. You hit him. His job is to be impactful, just like I said with Jordan Davis, impactful in the touches you do get. But the volume guys on this offense have to remain A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Is that controversial? Evidently it is.
Oh, by the way, those two want the ball, and deservingly so. Oh, by the way, you're also paying them to get the ball.
And they're better players.
Yeah,
I don't think
that part of it's controversial. I think where people disagreed or where I disagreed with you last week is, why would you not at least add him as an element to the game?
I didn't say, well, that's what, why? I mean, everybody has role players. Everybody, right. You know, I'm not saying he's not meaningful. I'm saying he's third on the pecking list, I think, in most people's minds in the building. Personally, I think he should be fourth on the
pecking list. I actually think he's fourth. I think he's behind Goddard, don't you?
Yeah, he should be.
My worry with Goddard is when AJ was out last year, Goddard did a whole lot of nothing.
Well, everybody did a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, it wasn't just Scott.
It's true. It's tough to look at it because, I mean, you could say that about
Lou. By the way,
who did a whole lot of something?
Nobody.
By the way, if you go back to 2021, the year before AJ got here, it's the same offense in Tampa that it was in 2021 as it was in 2023 without AJ Brown. They're not as good when AJ's not on the field.
By the way, we come a long
maybe
way.
Maybe recognize that.
We come a long way from Devonta Smith being the number one and Quez being the number two.
I used to get yelled at for saying Quez Watkins cannot be a number two receiver. I used to get murdered. What do you mean? He's one of the best number twos. I never get the mea culpas. Yeah. I get shit wrong and admit it all.
I can back you up on that. If you ever want
a good follow on Twitter, go look up Nick Bacone. That guy keeps receipts of everything everybody says or finds it and just takes a screenshot and puts, is this you? And he did it a lot with Quez Watkins last year. It was awesome.
I don't agree with that either. But, people should be more self-aware. I'll say that, we get it. You like the team. You like all the players. But it's not awful to point out that somebody's not going to be Jim Brown. That's not necessarily an insult, or he's not going to be.
How many people can be Jim Brown? Barry Sanders, Adrian Peterson, Walter Payton.
Yeah,
that's about it.
Yeah, or Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, he could be him. I consider him more of a Marshall Faulk type.
Yeah, well, that's what the Eagles think Saquon Barkley is.
I'll take that.
I think we'd all. I'll be the first one, by the way, to raise my hand if he turns into the impact that the Eagles think. The Eagles think he's the next best thing to Christian McCaffrey. If he becomes that, I'll be the first one to say the Eagles were right and I was wrong. I have no problem with that. I firmly disagree with their evaluation of the player. Not the 2018 Saquon Barkley. The 2024 Saquon Barkley that Jeff just explained with the ACL and the quad and the other injuries and the 1,500 touches. That's the guy I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the 2018
Saquon. You know what, John? It's as simple as this. The Eagles just feel we are giving Saquon Barkley an opportunity to play with actually talented football players, and we're going to see what he can do.
Well, I agree with that too. He'll be better.
That's a fair point. I mean, how good can he be just with the improvements on the people around him on offense?
You mentioned some of the guys, and Jason Kelce said this. There are certain guys who will perform no matter what. Supporting cast, scheme, philosophy. He is not one of those guys. He proved it in New York. He is not one of those guys. Not an insult. There's very few of them.
AJ Brown's one of those guys he could perform no matter what.
Yeah.
He did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he also took off to he also took it to a new level when he got to Philadelphia. Can Saquon take it to a new level? I think
that's what they're banking on. I think they're banking on the AJ Brown style impact.
John, I'll tell you what though. If you're right, and I think you're right a lot on this football team. If you're right on Saquon Barkley and he is exactly as you explained, I don't see how in the world that this contract ever made sense.
I'm not even worried about the contract. The contract's overblown.
It's a two-year contract. The
expectation of the player, the evaluation. Yeah. Forget the contract. It's like draft pick, right? Where when you give a guy that much money, it comes with an expectation. It comes with everything else from the
fans. Oh yeah, the expectations the expectations will not be reached. Nor should they be. Nor should that's
well, that, if they win a Super Bowl, it's reached.
Well, that's true. Good point, Jeff. If you win the Super Bowl, nothing matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything worked. But from the expectation standpoint, they shouldn't even have a chance to be reached because, again, he should be lower on the pecking order. I think people, not everyone, but there's a lot of people that think he's going to be the guy. He's going to be the ship. He's going to be the Christian McCaffrey. He's going to be the difference in this offense. And I don't even think he'll get the opportunity to do that.
I don't either.
So it's kind of hard to live up to that. If when they anything, don't get the opportunity.
Saquon 1.0. It's not going to be McCaffrey 2.0 because they just don't, they're not going to use him like that. They don't have the quarterback. They don't have the system.
What they're going to get is a better running back than they had. They're going to get a better pass protector, a better, I don't even know if he's a better pass catcher than DeAndre. They just never gave DeAndre.
I would say DeAndre was a better pass catcher than Saquon, but DeAndre. Yeah,
DeAndre is very good. You just never saw it.
Yeah, and that's why he was pissed off last year. Yeah.
He got 30 catches or whatever it was.
Yeah, he usually gets 60. He's getting 30. And he's probably like, I'm healthy. What do I got to do?
Now, he's a much better pass catcher than Miles was.
Well, that's not hard, John. I love Miles Sanders too, but that ain't hard.
Yeah. But are we going to guarantee he's going to be a better runner than Miles was in 2022? I can't guarantee that. It's possible.
I want him to be a better situational runner, if that makes sense. Like, we go into the Super Bowl and Miles Sanders reverts to old Miles Sanders, bounces it outside.
Now, Jeff's the Penn State guy.
In the Super Bowl.
So I'll defer to Jeff on this one. You're the Penn State guy. He's a bounce out guy too, isn't he? He's not going to be the North South guy.
They all are. So, okay, this is basically the Penn State way. Last year, they tried to reverse everything and make their big playbacks go through the chains, go through the A gap. You know, just kind of okay. We're not going for the big plays. We're going to be more efficient. That did not work. Now it's okay. We're going to switch the offense up again, and we're going to do the big play thing and. Yo, because that's what got Saquon Barkley drafted
number two overall.
And that's what got Miles Sanders one of the best running backs taken, and that's what's going to get our guys drafted because you got two guys that are going to be drafted next year criticized for it. Well, they didn't make any big plays or they didn't make any splash plays. Well, no, the offense took everything away from them. So, yeah, they're bounce out guys. They're searching for the big play. You get that zone read and. There's an excellent opportunity they can break it. That's why Saquon was so appealing to a lot of teams. I was shocked he was taken 2 overall. So I think
Dave Gettleman.
I wonder if he still uses the old Mac, like the really old Mac.
That was one of the great press conferences of all time, where he just made fun of the people with the computer keyboard, criticizing him for the value of picking a running back at number two. And guess what, Dave? They were all right, and you were wrong.
They were all right, and you suck at your job, and I don't even know where you are anymore.
Well, is it true that what was Christian McCaffrey drafted? He was 7th overall.
He was nine.
Nine overall. So that was the one. This is what I've heard, Jeff, John. You can confirm and or deny this. He was the one running back that the Eagles would have broken their mold for.
Oh, yeah. That's who they wanted.
Yeah. They were going to draft 13th. They had the 14th pick.
I kept hearing it was either Christian McCaffrey, and if he wasn't drafted, it was going to be Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, they badly wanted Christian McCaffrey. And he ended up going 8 was the official number.
Was it 8? Okay.
Yeah. So it never got close. And I would bring that up for years, and you know, Albert Breer finally could, so then it became real. But you know, those of us who were around the team, ultimately, eventually, afterwards, not before, were you know informed that yeah they would have taken him, and it's one of those things where I hate the narrative, and it happens every year, and I get why people do it. They'll never take a running back. They'll never take a linebacker. They'll never take a cornerback. They haven't taken a cornerback since Lito Shepard. Well, they damn well tried over the past couple of years.
And they took one this year because the board fell to one, the guy they wanted.
Exactly. I mean, they wanted J.C. Horn. They wanted Patrick Surtain. They wanted Derek Stingley Jr. Who was the other one who went in Stingley? Oh, Sauce Gardner. They were never going to get close to Sauce Gardner.
But they
loved all those players. And Stingley and Sauce went way higher than.
I think the only linebacker I ever think they ever wanted, at least that high, was Luke Kuechly.
Well, there's one. you know, linebacker, clearly they have some issues with, as we just talked about.
Think, John?
Yeah.
So, by the way, you're hearing how great Peyton Wilson looks in shells and shorts right now. It's like,
I love that. They should have picked Peyton Wilson.
Yeah.
Johnny
Mack's going to be taking a victory lap if that guy is.
I took one of his backhanded compliments. So a couple of my buddies on the Steelers were tweeting about how great Peyton Wilson looked this week. I'm like, boy, there is a lot of teams that sure going to use Peyton Wilson this offseason. Yeah.
Jeff, let me move into real quick. OTA is starting today. They have six planned Eagles. What are you watching? For me, you got right guard, outside corner, linebacker's a big one, wide receiver three. I'm even curious to see if Jalen Hurts is lining up under center a little bit. What are you looking for in OTAs?
John, what can we look at in those 10 minutes there? I guess the depth chart, if they even do that.
We can look at how slim and impressive Jordan Davis looks.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do my famous video where, and I'll never forget, Tanner McKee and I laugh about this, but we did a video, I think it was, McKee threw a ball to Omalade Zaccheaus like during the individual portions last year, and it was a little high, and they're like, oh, this third-string quarterback's going to be cut. Everybody overreacted. Oh, it's great. It was great. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we, you know, the good thing about this year you mentioned is they're going to have a mandatory mini camp.
That's where we're going to see some stuff.
Yeah. We'll be able to see. That's the first time in the Nick Sirianni era. Those practices are open in their entirety.
It's going to
be like
a awesome
training camp practice. These OTAs over the next 2 weeks will be in there Wednesday, most likely, not 100%, but most likely. We'll get to see 15 minutes. That's it. And then we're off when they start doing actual. They can't do team drills, but 7-on-7, even football centric, we don't see that. So all we see is stretching and how impressive Jordan Davis looks in his bicycle jersey. And, we get to see some individual routes, like what Jeff was talking about, Tanner McKee overthrowing. In this case, it's going to be tough to overthrow some of those backups. They're all 6'3", 6'6". Johnny Wilson, how impressive. By the way, I'm going to predict it right now. Mr. Novacare, Johnny Wilson.
Can he play special teams?
Doesn't matter. He's 6'6", and everybody's going to be enamored. I go back every time they bring in a big receiver. Remember Femi Moa?
Oh,
everybody loved him.
I do, baby.
Everybody loved
him. He was on the Cardinals for a bit.
Yeah. Oh,
Tyree
yeah.
Jackson, they were impressed with.
Tyree, yeah. More obviously a tight end. Yeah, people are going to be awed by Johnny Wilson in training camp.
My favorite thing this offseason, there was one of those, I forget, it was one of the guru guys who have a lot of following on NFL Twitter. It's one of the respected analysts. I don't want to mention the name, but did a clip of J.J. McCarthy throwing a slant and said, look how crisp that is. And I showed that to a couple
crisp.
I showed it to a couple college coaches. They're like, what are we doing here? That's a pass anybody can make. And like, that was the reaction I wanted. And I'm just like, unbelievable. This is what, how desperate we are for retweets and likes and everything else now. What a pass. No one's covering him. It's just open.
Well, my favorite ever pro day was Johnny Manziel's when he was throwing. He was lofting it over a broom. What a amazing touch he had at the time, Johnny.
It was the guy who threw the ball like, oh, it was Zach Wilson. He threw the ball like, oh, he threw the ball 70 yards in the air. I'm like, that doesn't tell me if this guy's good or not.
Yeah. Well, Zach Wilson, I will say, the Eagles loved him. He does when I got to see him up in Jersey when the Eagles had joint practice. His arm is impressive. But, yeah, he can't play. I mean,
by the way, you know I get criticized for this a lot by 49ers fans, and I've defended the 49ers on a lot of incidents here. When they always say how well they draft and how they found Purdy and this and that and all the guys they got, I said, yeah, but can you imagine how much better they would have been if they didn't do what they did with Trey Lance?
Yeah, well, look, that's everybody. That's the Eagles with Jordan Mailata. I mean, of course, you spiked the football. Same thing with the 49ers for Brock Purdy. The plan, the actual plan, was for Trey Lance to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, that didn't work out too well.
They gave up a lot to get that guy.
Yes.
I'm telling you, they gave up on Trey Lance that week one game. It was 22. Yeah, it was 22 against Chicago in the pouring down rain. And Trey Lance was just missing balls left and right, and he couldn't run to his left. I'm like, they did the whole.
And you know what? That of all the if Kyle Shanahan says he can't play, probably can't play. So I applaud them for saying, hey, you know what? We made a mistake, but you made a mistake. Make no, you know, you wanted him to be the starting quarterback. And the same thing. I mean, I have a little bit, you mentioned McCarthy. I have a little bit of hope Sam Darnold can be a starting quarterback in the NFL because he had a year under Kyle Shanahan. We'll see.
Yeah, but I mean, they're paying him to at least start the year.
I think the best case scenario for that team would be for J.J. McCarthy to Jordan Lovett for a couple years. But for that to happen, he's got to play well.
I'll say this. If J.J. McCarthy does play his rookie year and is good, I won't be shocked just because of the cast he has.
Yeah, he's got the best situation for the rookie quarterbacks, but, you know. I don't think he's a first round pick.
I'm an advocate of waiting. I mean, even Patrick Mahomes, right? Like the modern world is just like, get these quarterbacks in the game, get these quarterbacks in the game. Even Andy, I mean, he put Patrick Mahomes in the game. It was just a year.
Well, no, Patrick's had a year. Patrick's had a year.
That Taba Hali story, that was true. They wanted a lot of those players wanted Pat to play earlier.
Yeah, and John, you always talk about how great the Green Bay quarterback play is. Well, that's been their method. Favre sat a little bit. Aaron Rodgers sat a little bit. And then, boom, Jordan Love sits 3 years.
You know what? I always wonder how long Brett Favre would have sat if Don McCaskey, I always forget his name.
The Magic Man.
Yeah, the Magic Man didn't get hurt because that's the only way Favre got in.
Yeah. Same with Drew Bledsoe. You just saw, I mean, you know, Drew Bledsoe was the number one overall pick in the draft.
Yep.
Good signed a player. Big contract. Yeah, he was good. People forget how good Drew Bledsoe actually was.
Good player, gets hurt, really serious injury. And the rest is history.
Yeah,
I mean,
the rest is Tom Brady's history because Drew Bledsoe.
I'll tell you what, I give Tom Brady a lot of credit on this. It's amazing how close him and Drew Bledsoe kind of still are.
Oh, they are. He was at the roast. I don't know if you guys saw the roast.
Yeah, he was at the roast.
He did a good job.
And you know what? Like, you know, Drew was Tom's biggest supporter, that whole thing. Like, Drew knew this guy was going to be something if he got the opportunity. That's true. Drew didn't want him to get the opportunity, but he was going to root for him.
Football teams hate when you bring up luck, but that's another, whether it's Mailata, over Andre Dillard here to a lesser degree because luck is part of the equation for sure. Purdy over Trey Lance, Tom Brady, the biggest one over Drew Bledsoe. None of those were plans. Everybody can spike the football afterwards, but none of them were plans.
It was crazy. And this was, you know, 23 years ago. I remember when Bledsoe balled out in the AFC Championship game. And I'm thinking to myself, you got to play Drew Bledsoe in the Super Bowl, right? Like, I know you got to play this guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The next year, people were, you know, saying you got to go back to Bledsoe.
People were talking about this in 2016 with the Cowboys. This was legit. Everybody thought it was media. I'm like, no, this was legit. They were thinking about playing Tony Romo in the playoffs over Dak Prescott just because Tony was back and he was healthy. And they said, well, this is Tony's team, but they decided to go with Dak and. Who knows what would have happened if Tony plays?
Yeah.
Jerry's next big QB plan, Trey Lance, as he won't pay Dak Prescott. He's keeping Trey stashed away and maybe
Dak's getting paid. He may not get paid by the Cowboys, but he's going to get paid.
That's true.
Yeah, he's definitely getting paid.
Dak is a winner. Yeah. Dak is a winner in that regard. He's taking the advantage of the Cowboys.
Yeah, he's going to get paid. That's for sure. Jeff, thanks for joining the show, man. We'll catch up with you next Monday or maybe not next Monday, depending on what the schedule is. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Isn't next Monday Memorial Day?
Yeah, Memorial Day. So we'll figure it all out. But Jeff, thanks for joining the show, man. We'll catch up with you soon.
Yep, you got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
See you, man.
There's Jeff Kerr joining the show. Coming up next, Johnny Mac and I are going to do our 53-man roster projection. take this to the bank, everybody. May 20th, we are picking the roster.
Fast forward to week one.
So we'll do that next on Birds 365. No hour two guest today, but we'll be back with tomorrow. I think we'll have Bill Colarulo in tomorrow in his Tuesday spot. So we'll talk to him tomorrow. If you're in the chat room, we appreciate you all. Daz, Bobby, Fly, James, all the Jameses, or several of you. Steven, Joseph, we appreciate all you guys. Make sure you drop a like on the show, as it's the best thing you can do to help Birds 365 grow. We'll come back. Johnny Mac and I will do our initial 53-man roster projections for the season heading into day one of OTAs today. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back with our 53-man projections.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.